Okay, once again, we're going to read this verse one more time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That sounds very, very sweet, doesn't it? That the Lord wants all of us to come to repentance, that he wouldn't want any of us to perish. It's a beautiful thought. However, it's not what the scripture teaches. It's also not a reality. So one thing a brother that I admire quite a bit tends to use in his teaching, his name is Brother Ron Crisp. He says, the proof is in the pudding. Okay? So you always test scripture, not only against scripture, but with reality. Just because you can take something out of context and make it sound good doesn't mean that that's what it's actually pointing out. So that's what today's lesson is about. It's about context and the fact that as a Christian, we have a responsibility to keep God's word in context. We have been given a commission to go out and teach and preach the gospel, right? Well, there's certain doctrines that also fall in line with the gospel. In order for us to teach and preach, we have to be able to keep his word in context. We can't cherry pick verses to suit what we want it to mean for our own personal feel goods. You know, we can't just change what the Bible says to make everybody feel good. Because that's not what you do that, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. All right, so now we're going to read this from verse 1 and keep this in context so those that may not have ever heard it in context may understand exactly what it is being taught right here. Verse 1. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 1. Point something out to you real quick. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. To who? To them that have obtained like precious faith. Those that don't know, an epistle is a letter. It is a letter written to a specific person, persons, in a specific time, place. Specific. Now, can we relate this letter to us today? Because it's written to a specific type of people that was just like us? Yes, we can. However, this letter was written to a specific group. Let's point that out. Now let's go back to chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved. So now he's addressing them. He's telling you who those people are. They are the beloved. I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. See a lot of that today, don't we? Scoffers, walking at their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Anybody ever had that question brought to him, trying to witness to somebody? He's supposed to have been here a long time ago. Where's he at? Anybody else ever heard that? Yeah. Bible already told us this is going to happen, right? So saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, my daddy's been dead. They've been waiting for years for this to happen is what they're saying. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Saying it's nothing's changed. This is where they get caught up, though. For this they willingly are ignorant of. For that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. It's a little confusing there for a second, but let's go down to the next verse and figure out exactly what he's trying to say. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. He's talking about the flood. What are you talking about? It's been the same since the beginning. He said, the world ain't the same. It's already been gone through a flood. We already have a promise that's never going to happen again. The world can't be the same if you actually know what you're talking about. If you've actually done a little bit of reading, looked up a little bit of history about what you're talking about, you'd know that the world can't be the same since the day of creation. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. So now we've got a little bit of context. What exactly are we learning here? We're learning that there's two different types of people. Okay? There's those that are going to be willingly ignorant and be scoffers, and there's the beloved. There's two types of people that are being addressed in here, and only one of them is being directly addressed in context. Now that that person is being directly addressed in context, let's reread this next two verses. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. He said, look, you ain't going to predict when God's coming. Time is of nothing to him. It's of something to you because that's all you've got. He's not bound by it because he created it. He's not bound by time no more than he's bound by you. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack in concerning his promise. In other words, he's going to keep his promise. Quit whining. Be patient. He's going to keep his promise. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards usward. He's already established who he's addressing. He's addressing the beloved. He establishes it again there. Towards who? Usward. The saved. The ones that are of like faith. The elect. It's not talking about everybody. It's not talking about all of mankind. He's talking about his chosen. Gets even deeper. Not willing that any should perish. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you think that God is not willing that any person on this earth should perish, and he still lets them, how weak of a God do you believe in? That's not, in any definition that I've ever even seen of false gods, a false god. That is even lower than what false gods get credit for. And you're telling me that he cannot control whether or not his those that he wants to live and die are not going to live and die as he sees fit and go where he wants them to as he sees fit. This is all according to his will. And according to his will, not any should perish. That's of his. Any of his should perish. All should come to repentance. Not only does this teach us that this is about the elect, but it teaches us that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the doctrine of the preservation and perseverance of the saints. That is grace. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Once again, he's addressing specific people. He's done told you that the rest of the earth is going to get burned up. He's done told you basically that the rest of the people that are on the earth are going to get burned up. And now he's asking you specifically, what are you, a child of God? How are you supposed to conduct yourself? How are you supposed to hold conversation during this time? Not how the rest of the world is supposed to do it, how you are supposed to do it. This whole chapter here is addressing specific people. And if you're saved, it's addressing you. Amen. Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, the elect, matter of fact, let's go ahead and start substituting the word elect for a few of these phrases and see how it sounds. Nevertheless, the elect, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, the elect, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Beloved, if you are the beloved, you are the elect. Beloved, if you are the beloved, this is written for you. Beloved, if you are the beloved, this scripture should put peace in your heart. And you should be able to read it in context and understand what false teachers are teaching these days. And what you can teach your children, how you can prevent them from being taught some of these false doctrines by men taking things out of context. Context is the most important part of reading Scripture. The who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how. Time plays a factor as well. That gets into a little bit more deeper into it, but time plays a big factor as well. Things were done differently back in the Old Testament. So when you start figuring out context with things, and you come across something in the Bible that's confusing to you, or sounds contradictory. Let me tell you one thing. The Bible never contradicts itself. Your mind contradicts the Bible. Your mind can't comprehend how the Bible can say both things and mean one. It's difficult. It is not easy. And it takes a whole lot of study. It takes a whole lot of migraines and headaches and sitting up at night trying to figure out what it means. But if you pray diligently for the Lord to reveal it to you, if you are His child, He will. You will understand whatever doctrine it is that you're struggling with. He will reveal whatever it is that you're praying. If you're earnestly praying for the glorification of God in that prayer, for Him to reveal it to you, He will reveal it to you. There's nothing about this book that if you are the elect, that if you are the beloved, that should ever come as a contradiction, that should ever bring question of your stance, of your belief. Actually, if it should do anything, it should edify. This book should edify you, never divide you. There's nothing dividing about this book. It's men that divide it. That's all I've got to say.